Let's just lift it up to him right now. Come on, if God has ever done anything for you, if he's ever been good to you, why don't we just thank him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Brother Biddle, I want to thank you for those kind words that you said. I definitely see you as family. I see you like a fatherly figure to me. And, even you, Levi, thank you for your friendship and everything. I'm just really grateful, honestly, like, to be a part of this church now and just, like, you know, to be able to be in fellowship with each and every one of you. So I thank you for everything, honestly. And I just want to say I'm grateful for this opportunity that Pastor and Brother Biddle, you've allowed for me to partake in. And excuse me, I'm a little bit sick. But, I've only got a couple of days, and I won't see your beautiful faces anymore. I just want to say thanks, you know, for all your hospitality, for having me over. Trust me, 1 week is all you need. And, I mean, you've already got Pepper. I mean, you don't need both of us. I feel like we're a team. Like, Pepper is, like, he won't stop barking. I won't stop coughing. So, right. So I really do appreciate all you do, Brother Biddle. You have such a beautiful family. And I do love each and every one of you. And let's get into scripture, because I sure don't want to get caught out by Brother John for being late for Mexican. But that's for you, Levi. And I want to draw your attention today to the book of Judges. And we're going to turn over to chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 11 through 16, as well as chapter 7. Verses 2 through 7. So when you get there, you can just say amen. Amen. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And if we could turn to chapter 7, and we're going to be reading verses 2 through 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people are yet too many." Everybody say, "Too many." "Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, "Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink." I'm almost done. "And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "By the 300 men that lap will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place." If we could just turn to prayer right now and just ask God to just move in a mighty, mighty way right now. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, O God, for all your mercy, O God, for all your grace, for being such a loving God. And Lord, right now we just ask you, O God, that your spirit may move in this place, God. I ask, O God, that your anointing may be upon me, God, that you may use my lips, God, to deliver this message, O God, that you may make us sensitive to your spirit, O God. I pray that you would have your way right now, God, that you would take any distraction away, oh God, anything that's wanting to lead us away, oh God. I pray, Lord, that we may lay it aside right now, God, and we may focus upon your word and what you have in store for your people. Heavenly Father, we just go before you in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We believe in you, oh God. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. You didn't forget that time. So when I was younger, probably about like when I was 12 or 13, I mean, we all have our hobbies and stuff we like doing. But for me, I know this is a little bit weird, but when I was about 13, I really enjoyed running. How many runners do we have in the place? Praise God. But I really enjoyed running, and I would run all the time with my dad, and it was something that I fell in love with. But I do remember when I first started running and how difficult it was. I mean, I think we can all agree that running is not easy, especially when it's like you're just starting or whatever. But I remember one time I had eaten a bunch of corn and all right, I'll stop. But I remember how difficult it was and the suffering that just took place and the pain and all that. But after a while, after the consistency and being able to run for a while, it just seemed like every run just seemed to get easier and easier, and I seemed to be cutting off my time from what I had originally started, and it wasn't long, you know, before I had told my dad, you know, Dad, this is getting easy, and I probably should have kept my mouth shut, because, you know, next thing I know, I had a 20-pound vest on me, and man, I hated that thing. But then I realized that if I was going to be able to build my endurance and if I was going to be able to run for long distances, it was going to take work. And it was going to take consistency and lots of pain. And for those of you who've ever tried, like, to achieve anything and have, like, gone for a goal or anything, you know that it requires work and it doesn't come easily. And, I mean, a lot of us can attest to that. I mean, we can't even stick to our New Year's resolution for a single week. But, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. I think we've all been there where we've kind of given up on something. But why do we give up on our goals and in our dreams and stuff that we strive to complete? I'll tell you why. It's because we want results, but we don't want to put the work in. And the message I decided to entitle this is actually it's called Purpose of the Process. Thank you for putting it up there. I actually forgot. man, I lost my... here in Judges chapter 6, we come across this man called Gideon. And Gideon is a man that fears the Lord. And during this time, specific time in chapter 6, we read how Israel has turned their backs to God and how they have rejected God and gone after idolatry and things that God despises. Let me just say, when you turn your back on God, that's when the difficulties rise and the problems rise. And so here's Israel doing evil in the sight of God. And I would just imagine that Gideon was an average guy. I mean, there was nothing special about him other than the fact that, you know, he had the fear of God in him. And that's really what distinguished him from everybody else. And if we want to be used by God, you know, we must never turn backs on him, even when everybody else wants to, even when everybody else does. So here's a man that's chosen by God. In verse 16, we read how God makes him a promise and says that he's going to be the vessel that God uses to deliver the children of Israel. And so here's this promise that God makes him. And I just really want us to focus upon this next part, upon this journey, if you will, that God takes Gideon through. So the Bible talks about the Midianites and how they were great in number and how there was so many. And it says they were like grasshoppers. And so here's God telling Gideon to gather men. And so Gideon goes out, he gathers men. And I did the math. It's like, so originally, you know, he gathers 32,000 men. Seems like a pretty decent amount, you know, to go to war. And so he gathers these men. But something interesting that happens is God says, I'm going to need you to get rid of some people. And I can just imagine, you know, I mean, I would have been like, are you sure, God? Like, is this really what you want? I mean, I have the men ready. Like, we can just go to war right now. Like, let's go. But God says no. And he removes people little by little. And we see this in two different occasions. And then eventually it comes down to 10,000 men. And then way down to 300. And so we just see this process that God takes Gideon through. And a lot of times in life, we don't understand the process that God takes us through. And we're not going to understand and we're not going to know what God is doing. A lot of times we'll question just exactly what he's doing. It doesn't seem to make any sense. God tells Gideon, I'm going to take some people away. And sometimes in life, you know, God has to take some people out of our lives to fulfill his process. And we just don't understand the process. And anything or anyone that comes in your way of fulfilling God's will, he will take away. And even though it hurts, it's part of his process, and we just have to trust that it is. And a lot of times it feels like we're battling alone. You know how many have been there? I mean, I've definitely been there. It feels like you're battling alone. But, you know, if there's one thing I've realized, it's that God will put you in situations that feels like you're alone because he wants you to understand that it's only through him that you can get through it. I need you to understand that it was only through him. And a lot of times God would just bring you to like your lowest point where you knew without the shadow of a doubt this was absolutely God. It had to be God. And there was a time in my life when I felt like I was alone. I sincerely thought I wouldn't make it another day. I didn't know how I was going to see the next day. And it was just heartbreaking for me. And it was a process for sure. And it hurt me so much. And I even asked God to take my life away on different occasions because I just felt I couldn't endure the process. I felt it was too much. So much suffering and so much heartache. And I'm not saying this so you can feel sorry for me or anything. I'm going somewhere with this. But I realized that God had a process beyond the pain, you know. And I just told myself, what if I just endure this process? What if I just endure this pain? I just had to endure the process before I understood what he was doing. And I'm here to tell you that God has a promise beyond the process. So I just ask you to not hate the process, but to embrace it. And just the other day, Pastor John, you were talking about the difficulties and how it's necessary for it to build us up. And, you know, that kind of just stuck to me. And we just need to understand that trials bring growth. We need the trials. We need the struggles. We should be thankful for these problems because it's what builds us up. It's what builds us up in creating us into the person that God wants us to be. You know, a lot of times we'll tend to pray some prayers that we're just not ready for. A lot of times we pray the prayer. I mean, I've been guilty myself of, you know, break me, God. But are we sure we want to pray that prayer? I mean, are we ready for that prayer? Because let me tell you, if you pray that prayer, he will break you. And he will put you in a situation where you feel like you can't move forward. And you just have to be ready. Because in order for you to get stronger, he's going to put you somewhere where you're going to feel weak. Where you're going to feel like you can't make it. Where you will cry. You have to be broken to grow, though. It's part of the process. And if you are a Christian, you will suffer in this life. I'm not going to lie to you and say that it's going to be easy because it's not. I mean, the Bible even says nobody is above their master. I mean, if Jesus himself suffered, who are we to say that we won't? The process is necessary. You know, instead of asking God to take away our suffering, why don't we ask him what he's trying to teach us? We need to trust that whatever hurt that we feel, whatever damage we feel within our hearts or whatever we experience, that it's only meant to build us up and not to hurt us. And we just got to trust God. And I know it's difficult. I know it is. But it's not impossible. And he will bring you through it. He always does. I mean, I've lost count of the amount of times God has brought me through it. We just have to be willing to endure the process. The Bible says that he is touched by our infirmities. and you aren't alone. And you're a lot stronger than you think. You ever been in a situation where you just didn't think you could make it, and then you get through and you're like, how on earth did I get through that? It's because God sees potential in you, and he knows that you're stronger than you actually are, or than you actually think that you are. It's all because of him. So let the process develop you. So here in the book of Judges, Gideon goes from a whole army to 300 men. And, it doesn't seem like 300 men can do much against a whole army. But one important thing that we can learn from Gideon is that through the whole situation, he trusted God. And he trusted that he would make it come to pass. And it's because of his trust in God that he came out victorious and defeated the Midianites. Fast forward 1,000 years or thousands of years later, and we come over to the New Testament, and we see a beautiful example of what it means to trust the process and what it means to actually submit to the process. And of course, I'm talking about, you know, Jesus. It just amazes me how. Well, yesterday actually we were watching The Passion of the Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but every time I watch it, it just moves me and it does something to me. It's just seeing how God had manifested himself in the flesh and suffered the way he did. I mean, they treated him like a criminal. He died like a criminal. I mean, he didn't deserve anything that he went through, but he went through that just because of me and because of you. And one of these, the way that he died, rather, was one of the most brutal ways you could imagine in dying. It was excruciating, and it was meant to break the victim, and it was meant to humiliate the victim, and essentially what it did was it suffocated the victim, and it was supposed to be a long, long process. And yet he was still obedient to the cross, and I just don't understand how somebody could do that. You know, we see in the Gospels how Jesus cries out, you know, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because he made up in his mind that he was going to endure the process no matter what. He knew that if he could get past the pain, if he could get past the agony, one day you and I could obtain salvation. And it's because of you and me that he endured it. He said, if I can just endure this process for a little bit longer, if I can just endure these nails, if I can just fight through the agony, you can be saved. If you can fight through this pain, you are going to make it to where God wants you to be. You got to trust the process. There's people here that feel like they've just lost everything probably. And we don't always understand why things happen the way they do. And Brother Biddle, I don't understand why God, you know, decided to take Eric home. You don't understand these things. But I do know this, that you were not forgotten. And he still has a plan and purpose for your life. And just know when you come out of this, you will come back stronger. So don't forsake the process. Embrace it and let it do its work. You know, there's God will a lot of times take us through seasons of waiting. And it's in that season of waiting where we have to learn to trust him, because we can't get through it. It's impossible to get through it unless we trust him. He knows exactly what he's doing, though. So we just have to trust him. In the, I'm going to use the Marines for a little bit. In the Marines, the training that occurs is right before becoming a Marine is actually, it's full of, I don't know if like y'all have like gone into like any research or anything, but they call it the 13 weeks of hell. And the reason why they call it that is just because you go through so much physical and mental stress. And essentially what that does is that training throughout those 13 weeks, it's meant to just break you down, but it's meant to also build you up as a different individual. It's meant to build you up as a warrior, really. And God's going to have to get rid of some stuff in your life. And sometimes that just means being humbled. Sometimes it means hurt, pain, and tears. It means you will be broken to a point where you feel like you can't get up. But there's nothing that you are going through or that have gone through that Jesus hasn't gone through. James 1:2 tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So I say to you today, trust in the Lord, and you will overcome this in due time. You have to embrace the process and love the process. God bless.